I'll be reading from Acts chapter 15, verse 36 through chapter 16, verse 5. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went to Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. He came to Derbe and entered Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers of Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on a journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that. And we know that the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you do bless your word this morning. We thank you for your truth and your word revealed to us by your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we can know you and we can hear from you and know your heart. I pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts before your word this morning. Give us ears to hear from you, heart to receive what you have for us this morning. Bring glory to yourself in and through your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes two different people can look at the same thing and come to two different conclusions. But yet they both, thank you, but yet they both, bless you, can be right. For instance, what do you see here? What do you see in this picture? How many see a vase? How many see two faces? Who's right? Both of you, right? If you see two faces or if you see a face, they're both right. What about this one? How many see a duck? How many see a bunny? Which is it? Is it a duck? Is it a bunny? They're both right, correct? Okay, what about this one? What do you see? How many see a saxophone player? How many see a lady or a person's face? They're both right. You don't see the person's face, Karen? Right, here's the eyes, the nose, the mouth. It's white, the white half, and the black is the hair. See it? Then, of course, there's this one. One person says that's 66. The other person says it's 99, and they're both arguing about it, and they're both adamant that they're right. And are they? It depends on your perspective, right? It depends how you're looking at it, on whether they're right, who's actually right. That's what was happening in our scripture this morning between the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Barnabas. Both were convinced that they were absolutely right. And maybe they were. We'll get into a little bit here. But their adamancy about who was right was going to lead to a strong division among the two. To bring us up to where we are, we had seen last week that the church gathered together in Jerusalem and had the council. The first church council or conference to settle the matter of is grace alone enough for salvation. The Jewish believers were coming to the Gentiles and telling them, and Lycaonium, Lystra, and Derbe, the towns where Paul and Barnabas had preached that first missionary message to, and many of them had become saved in the churches of Galatia, and they had come in and telling them that they had to be circumcised and live according to the law in order to be saved. And the church had gathered together and settled that issue and said, no, it's by grace alone. Faith in Christ is enough. You don't need to add the law to it. And aren't you thankful they came to that conclusion? Faith alone in Jesus is enough. So Paul and Barnabas returned back to Antioch with the message, and we'd seen that last week with the decision of the council. So now some time comes, and Paul says to Barnabas, hey, Barnabas, I think it's time for us to go back to Lystra, Iconium, and Derbe and visit the believers there and deliver them the message from the Council of Jerusalem, but also just to see how they're doing and encourage them in the faith and continue to teach them to grow. And Barnabas says, Paul, that's a great idea. Let's do it. So Barnabas says, but I think when we go, we need to take Mark with us. Mark was with us on the first trip, you remember, but then halfway on the journey, what happened to Mark? He left and went back home. And Paul says, you know, Barnabas, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think that's a good idea to take Mark with us because he left us. He didn't finish the journey. He quit. And I don't think it's good to take him along. The dispute was so sharp that it was going to lead the two to split in two. Who was right in this dispute? As we look at the scripture this morning, we're going to discover two truths about two principles about our rights. About when we are demanding or think we are right, and somebody else thinks they're right, and that can happen sometimes in marriages, can it? When each spouse thinks they're right and dig into that. It doesn't happen to Bob and Carolyn, though. But who is right? And how do we determine what we do about our rights? So we're going to just look at the Word of God together and discover two principles. And the first one is this. Demanding our rights leads to division. When we demand our right and our way, and we dig in on that, and we're relentless and we don't yield up, it can lead to division, and it often does. And that's what happened in the case of Paul and Barnabas, two great men of God. But yet, their yielding unwillingness to both demand their own way was going to lead to them parting company. And that can happen in a marriage relationship. That can happen in any kind of relationship. Whenever two people butt heads and both demand our rights, it can lead, instead of to unity, to division. Because personal conflict can arise even among godly believers. Here we have Paul and Barnabas, who were two apostles, who were godly. You think of the apostle Paul, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was probably a more godly, mature believer than him. A man who had served the Lord faithfully, a man who had gone, and we had seen through persecution, endurance, was stoned in Lystra and left there for dead, endured, suffered greatly for the cause of Jesus, a man who was definitely had met the Lord, who knew him well, and said, follow my example as I follow Christ. He was a godly man. So was Barnabas. Barnabas was known as the son of encouragement. And the church looked to him because he was always encouraging others in the faith, always seeking to build them up. He as well was a man of God. And even here you have two godly preachers who end up having a disagreement with each other, showing us that even among godly believers, at times within the church, we can have disagreements with each other. Conflicts can arise even within marriages, even within when both are believers, and we're not immune from it. Even Paul and Barnabas were not here. And so it shouldn't surprise us when that conflict comes. Why? Because each one of us have sin in our heart. Each one of us still have a sin nature that we all battle, and none of us are perfect. And we're always going to see things differently. And that's going to arise sometimes with conflict, even among godly believers. And spiritual maturity does not erase personality differences. Paul was a godly man, so was Barnabas. They were definitely mature believers. They were not novices in the faith when this dispute took out. Paul had been walking with the Lord many, many years, and they had just come back this missionary journey. They were teaching in the book of Antioch, in the church of Antioch. They were mature believers. They had grown deeply in their faith. But it doesn't erase the personality differences. And you and I, we may grow in the Lord, and we may have another brother or sister in Christ that is mature and believer too, but you know, sometimes it doesn't change our faith, our growth, and doesn't change who we are and the personality that God made us with. Because God made us and gave you the personality you have. Let's just face and be honest, guys. There are just some people that they can be Christian believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, you just don't get along with. Maybe there's just something about their personality that is grating to you. There's something about their personality that you may not like, and you may have a hard time. And the Bible says we have to love everybody, but doesn't mean we always like everyone. And spiritual maturity doesn't erase that. And it didn't the case here of Paul and Barnabas. They had personality quirks with each other that were different, and it was leading to the conflict. And to remind us of that, it doesn't always change. There's always going to be some people, there's people that you will click with well, but there's some people maybe in the church or others that you know that just, you know, there's just something about their personality that I'm okay. And spiritual maturity is not going to change that because that's how God made us. And we need to recognize that and realize that that's who we are. And that's who that person is. And that's how God created them to be. And when not yielded to the Spirit, our strengths can become liabilities. And that's what was happening here in the case of the dispute between Barnabas and Paul. Both of them were convinced they were right. And they had great strengths, but they weren't yielding their rights, they weren't yielding themselves to the Spirit here. They were letting the flesh, what they wanted, take over. And they wanted what they wanted, and they were not yielding it to the Spirit. And Paul's great strength was his commitment to the Lord, his willingness to give everything to him. And he willing to suffer whatever he needed to serve the Lord. And that was Paul's great strength, a total commitment to the Lord. Barnabas' great strength was encouragement and able to show grace and to encourage people. And that was a great strength of his. But when not yielded to the Lord, then our strength become a liability because Paul's great desire and commitment to the Lord that enabled him because he wasn't yielding it to the Lord in the Spirit, he wasn't able to show grace to Mark, who needed some grace. And he said, oh no, he's worthless. And Barnabas's great strength became a liability because he was looking at compassion and encouragement, and he was looking at Mark as his cousin and said, and wasn't looking at the fact that he did forsake them on that trip. And so both, whenever we don't yield what we have to the Lord, it can become a great liability. And God has blessed each one of us with strengths and gifts, but we need to yield them to his Spirit, because if we operate in the flesh, whatever we operate in the flesh instead of the Spirit, it's going to turn that great strength into a liability, leading us into the sin, into the wrong decision. And that's what was happening here. So we always need to yield ourselves to the Spirit and what he's given us. Because when each individual believes they're right, conflict will escalate. And that's what happened here. Barnabas in verse 37, Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, with him, which was his nephew. Verse 38 says, Paul did not think it wise because he deserted them. And so they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. That word sharp disagreement means to stir up and to provoke. In the case, to stir up and to provoke to a feeling of anger and emotion. And actually, Barnabas and Paul got so provoked with each other. You ever had anybody that provokes you to the point where they provoke you to the point of anger or frustration? And that's what was happening here. They got to the point that they provoked each other to the point of frustration and anger with each other. The only way they could deal with it is to part company and say, that's it. And they walked away. Because when each individual believes they're right, conflict will escalate. So I ask you, who was right in this situation? In this dispute that arose between Paul and Barnabas, who was right? Who do you think? Well, remember the pictures at the beginning? It all depends on how you're looking at it. Both sides of you can be right. Paul was right because following the Lord means perseverance, doesn't it? It means we're not to give up and we're not to quit. We had seen how Paul had demonstrated that. That we, in our commitment to the Lord, we're to follow through. We're not to give up. We're not to quit. We're not to shirk back. We're to give everything we have, and we're not to run away. We're to give everything, right? Is that right? True? So Paul was right in that, to say, Mark gave up and walked away. We can't trust him. He could do the same thing again. On the other hand, Barnabas was right, because people need grace and encouragement and a second chance when they mess up, right? Aren't you thankful whenever you fail and miss up that God gives us grace and encouragement, and someone comes along inside of us to encourage us when we mess up and fail? And so Mark needed the encouragement. He needed the second chance. He needed the grace be shown to him because he had messed up on the journey. So both were right. But when both are convinced that they're right, and neither one is willing to accept or yield to the other person's point of view, then what happens? In this case, it led to them parting. It led to division. And that can happen in our lives as well. And guys, some of the hardest words for us guys to say is, I was wrong. Do we have an amen to that, ladies? Amen. And it's hard for us to admit that. Because we dig in, we think we're right. The wives dig in, they think they're right. And it can lead sometimes to conflict. And when either one's willing to yield and we both demand our own way and our own rights, it leads to division. And that's what happened here. Both of them had a point of view. Both were valid. But yet, neither one was willing to accept the other one's point. They both dug in and demanded they have it their way, instead of coming to the point of agreeing to disagree. But the good news of this, Paul says, and Paul then went to the Corinthians, which come from a second missionary journey, and said, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, that there be no divisions among you, but be united in same mind and judgment. Paul later on went to write that. But the good news is that even when disagreements do occur, God can work through them. Even when both people can't see eye to eye and seem to work out the disagreement or the conflict between them, God can still work through them and work it out. Because look what happened. Barnabas took Mark, and he went off on a missionary journey. Paul took Silas. He went out and went on a missionary journey. So now instead of there being one missionary team, there were two. And it multiplied, And God was able to work through it eventually. Even though they didn't yield it to him, God was able to work through it and bring people to Christ through it. And God was able to work even in the midst of their disagreements. And God can do that in our life. And God was going to continue to work in Paul's life. Because as dead set as Paul was, that Mark was worthless, that he was no good, that he failed them and walked out on that last missionary journey. And as much as he felt that, God was going to work in Paul's life as well. Because you get to the last book that Paul wrote, the book of 2 Timothy. Years had now passed. Paul was writing a second letter to Timothy, his young son in the faith, who he met at Lystra. And knowing that he soon was going to be dying, he soon was going to be martyred for the faith. And he wrote Timothy and said, come to see me. But he also wrote this in 2 Timothy 4:11. Only Luke is with me. Luke was one who wrote Acts. He said, only he is with me, but get who? Mark, and bring him with you because he is what? Useful to me in the ministry. And he come to realize that God was at work in Paul's life too. And Paul come to realize, you know what? Maybe I was too hard on Mark. Maybe I should have showed him grace. Maybe Barnabas was right all along. And he said, he is useful. He is profitable to me. And God was at work in Paul's life. And the Lord worked through that. And Paul realized that Mark was profitable and said, bring him along with you because he is profitable to me. He's very useful. And God used Mark to write the gospel of Mark. He did have a strong commitment to the Lord. Did Paul come to realize that? So demanding our rights leads to division. But secondly, yielding our rights leads to unity. That instead of digging in and both of us or both people claiming we're right, if we yield our rights to the other person and to the Lord, it brings to unity. We see that as we go into chapter 16. In chapter 16, then, Paul and Silas go out on their missionary journey, and they go back to Lystra, Iconium, and Derbe, the towns that Paul and Barnabas had visited on their first missionary journey. There they met Timothy. We had talked about Timothy before. He was from the town of Lystra. His father was a Greek, and his mother was a Jew. And Paul wanted to take Timothy along with him on his journey with him, but Paul had him circumcised and required that he be circumcised. You say, well, why would he do that? They had just come off of the Jerusalem Council. Paul had fought really hard for the fact that Christians didn't have to be circumcised, that it was only by faith. Why was Paul now demanding that Timothy be circumcised before he could go on this journey with them? He said, doesn't make sense. Because Paul was demonstrating a principle of yielding our rights to unity because we will choose to limit our freedom so that others will not be offended. And Paul knew that it could be an offense to some of the Jews that they would meet if they knew that Timothy wasn't circumcised. And so in order not to offend them, Timothy willingly limited his freedom, even though he knew from the Jerusalem Council and the teaching he did not have to be, but he willingly chose to yield that right so that others wouldn't be offended. Notice the difference between Paul and Barnabas, where they both dug in and demanded their own way. But Timothy here was willing to submit to that and yield his freedom so that others would not be offended. We had talked a little bit about that last week, but let's go back to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church about this matter and about food offered to idols and about not offending other believers. And Paul said, everything is permissible. The Jerusalem Council said that, and we live by grace, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. So no one should seek his own good, but the good of others. And that's where living by the Spirit means that we learn to yield our rights and not think of ourselves, but we think of the other person and not having it our way and not demanding our way first. Choosing to limit our freedom to others. And go to Romans chapter 14. And Paul, writing to the church of Rome, was talking about the same issue, talking about weaker believers and stronger believers and not offending another believer in Christ. And he starts the chapter by saying, accept those whose faith is weak without passing judgment on debatable matters. Disputable matters, for one man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Verse 5. But one man considers one day more sacred than another, another man considers every day alike, but each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does it to the Lord, and he who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who abstains does so to the Lord, and he gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Verse 13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or offense in your brother's way. As one who was in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food in itself was unclean, but if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not let your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and appointed by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. So yielding our rights leads to unity because we'll choose to limit our freedom so that we don't offend somebody else. So if you know a brother or sister in Christ is offended by a particular thing that you may not think is wrong, but when you're with that person, you don't put a stumbling block in front of them or do it or throw it in their face to offend them. And we limit our freedom in that point. And that's living under the Holy Spirit. And that brings unity, not division. And it also brings unity because we will seek to meet others' needs instead of fulfilling our own. As we go back to Acts chapter 16. We see that as Paul and Silas then traveled, after Timothy was circumcised, and they began to travel, and they went and they encouraged the church. And they encouraged the church and believers, and it said all the churches were strengthened in verse 5 and grew daily in numbers. And they went and traveled from town to town, and they shared the decision that was reached by the apostles and elders. And they shared that the salvation is by grace. And they didn't have to keep the requirements of the Jewish law. And they encouraged them in the faith. And they put the needs of the others before themselves. And the church was strengthened because each one was taught to think of the other person. Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, which we're going to see coming here soon in Acts chapter 16, that said to each one of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. He said, in your relationships, verse 5, with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Then he went on to demonstrate that what that was, that even though Jesus was God, he did not consider his position in heaven something to be held on to, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant and humbling himself for us and dying even on the cross and placing our needs first. Even though he had the right as Son of God, he gave that up and put us before himself. And he yielded his rights so that we could be united to him in relationship. So that's the good news. So who's right? Paul or Barnabas? Demanding our rights leads to division, but yielding our rights leads to unity. We can dig in and we can all look at that 66 or 99, depending our value or where we're looking at it. We can both think we're both right and our perspective it may be. But if we don't yield those to the other person, then it leads to division instead of unity. And God wants us to think, put the other person's needs before ourselves. Have the mindset of Christ in all our relationships. Have his mindset of what he calls us and who he calls us to be. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this story and this account in Scripture that even godly believers, even pastors, can have disagreements among themselves so strong that can often lead that leads to division if not resolved. And we can dig in our heels and we can look at our from our perspective, and from our perspective we think we're right, and we may be, and we both may feel we're right at times. But yet if we hold on to that and demand that and not think of the other person, it leads often to division. And you call us, Lord, to unity. And so, Lord, help, may we not demand our own way. Give us the courage and the strength to say we're wrong. And, Lord, that's not easy for us to do because our pride gets in the way. And we don't want to admit that. But, Lord, help us to lay our rights down, not always demand our way, but yield our rights, because that leads to unity. To limit our freedom so that we don't offend somebody else. Out of love, think of the other person before us. And Lord, help us to learn from the Word of God this morning and the principles that you've laid out for us in your Scripture that are so practical, that deal with our relationships, because you are a God of relationship and you want us to be in that relationship with you and each other, and you want those relationships to flourish and grow. So, Lord, thank you for showing us practical ways from your word this morning on how to do that. And you taught us, and Paul wrote in to the church of Ephesians, to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Most of all, submitting to you, and then submitting to each other out of reverence for you and one another. And over all things, put on love and unity, which binds everything together in one. So thank you, Lord, for your word and its truth. And Lord, may we live by faith, walk by faith, and follow your example and the teaching that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.